الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين علماء اكرام most respected elders brothers and sisters who may be listening over receivers السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته The verse of the Quran Sharif which I recited is according to many mufassirin, the most comprehensive verse of the Holy Quran. And therefore I thought that in today's Jummah discussion, we should discuss the meaning of this verse and what is related, what it entails, because we hear the verse every Jummah from the time of our pious elders for centuries. At the end of every Jummah khutbah, virtually this verse is recited. At the end of the Eid khutbahs, this verse is recited. And it was the practice of the pious and righteous that we, that they would recite this verse at the end of every one of their khutbahs. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that the most comprehensive, inclusive verse of the Holy Quran is in Surah An-Nahl, and it is إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ And many of us even know this verse off by heart. Among the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were also, just to understand the importance and the impact and effect that this verse had on the people of the age of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only the Muslims, but even the non-Muslims. There was a person by the name of Aktham ibn Sayfi radiallahu ta'ala anhu who actually embraced and accepted Islam because of this particular verse of the Holy Quran. He was the chief and the leader of his tribe, and when he heard of the claim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is a person in Makkah who has claimed prophethood, so he said that I want to go and visit this particular person. Referring to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. But the people of his tribe told him that since you are the leader of the tribe, it is not appropriate for you to go. So he said then, okay, let me send two messengers. And they must go and meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they must report back to me. So as Aktham ibn Sayfi, he sent two people, two messengers he sent to Makkah Mukarramah and or to Medina Munawwara, wherever it was at that point in time. The verse, of course, is a Makki verse. It was revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two messengers came to him and they asked him two questions. They are said to him that, Man anta wa ma anta? Who are you and what are you? These were the two questions that they asked him. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, as for your first question, Ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Who I am? I am Muhammad the son of Abdullah. And what I am? I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet. And I have been sent with verses of the Quran and I have been sent with a message. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam recited this particular verse of the Quran. Such a short verse which we all know and we hear every week. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. These messengers, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fine. They asked him to repeat the verses a number of times until they committed these verses to memory and they went back now to Aktham ibn Sayfi who had sent them. When they went back, Akhtam ibn Sayfi asked him, what have you learnt? What is the report, the feedback that you have? So they said that we asked him two questions. As for the first question, he did not give much importance to that. We wanted to ask him about his lineage. So he just said that his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah. He found it sufficient to just mention the name of his father. But speaking to other people in Makkah, we found that he is of a very noble lineage. He's from a very noble family. But yet he didn't give much importance to all of that. He recited, in fact, a verse that was revealed to him, and this is the verse, and they recited this particular verse of the Holy Quran of Surah An-Nahl. Akhtam ibn Sayfi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made an announcement after listening to this verse, that wallah, you can see from this verse, that this man, he ordains that which is good, and he forbids from that which is evil. So if you want to have any goodness, I would like all of my people, the whole clan, all of you, to embrace and accept Islam, and the whole clan like that would have accepted Islam based on this one particular verse of the Holy Quran. This is the profound impact this one verse had on these people. Uthman ibn Mat'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I accepted Islam because people said that we must accept Islam, so I accepted Islam. But Islam had not found roots in my heart yet. Until one day I was sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of a sudden he went into the condition which would normally occur to him when revelation was coming upon him. And then when he came out of that condition, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me that the messenger of Allah, referring to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, had come, and this is the verse that he had revealed to me. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam recited this verse, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he recited the verse to Uthman ibn Mad'un, and Uthman ibn Mad'un says, from that day onwards, Islam found firm roots in my heart, and I developed an intense love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just by listening to this one verse of the Holy Quran. This was the impact and effect that it had upon those who were non-Muslims who accepted Islam, and even the Muslims, it entrenched their deen and their faith by listening and understanding this verse of the Holy Quran. In fact, there was a non-Muslim by the name of Walid ibn Mughira. Walid ibn Mughira, who was an enemy of Islam, he says that I went in the company of Muhammad. Of course, they didn't used to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse to him, and when he went back and he narrated this verse to his people, the Quraysh of Makkah, he said to them, wallahi, inna lahu lahalawata. Wallah, in this Quran there is a special kind of sweetness. Wa inna alayhi la talawata. And wallah, there is a special halo of noor and light that is there. A non-Muslim is giving this sort of testament, he's testifying on the words of the Holy Quran, and he says, wa inna aslahu lamuriqun. And the roots of this religion are most definitely going to give birth to leaves. Wa inna وَأَعْلَاهُ لَمُثْمِرٌ. And these branches are definitely going to bear fruit. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ بَشَرٍ. And most certainly, it is not the word of any human being. Even the non-Muslims testified that it was the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when it had such a profound and emphatic impact on people that they were ready to change their way of life, their religion, the very way that they thought and they handled their existence, so indeed it should have an effect and impact on our lives as well. And in the verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commands us to do three things, and he forbids us from doing three things. That is it. But it is so profound. It is the consequences of practicing upon the verse is so far reaching that if you one practices upon this one verse of the Holy Quran, it will enhance his worldly life, his spirituality and make him and improve his hereafter. In other words, he is sure to get success in this world and the hereafter by practicing upon this one verse of the Holy Quran. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most certainly commands you to do justice, to be equal, and to do good, and to give their relatives their dues. وَيَنْهَى, and he prohibits you from fahsha, shameful acts, وَالْمُنْكَرْ, evil acts, وَالْبَغْي, and transgression. These three things, يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. He exhorts you, he advises you, so that you can take lessons. You take heed, practice, imbibe, put it into your life, and you will see that a change will come into your life. I thought that we should discuss some of these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as these prohibitions, so that we can understand the gist and the meaning of this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing that he says is that he asks you to be just, to act upon justice. And the Mufassirin write, and this is the beauty of the Arabic language, that this one word has such a deep meaning that it covers every aspect of our lives. This, the literal meaning of adl is to be equal. And the meaning also is to exercise moderation. Moderation between what? Between being excessive and between having deficiency. And that is the beauty of our deen. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has blessed us with, although the media and many people out there that associate extremism with deen and Islam, the reality and the fact of the matter is that it is a deen which is balanced. It is a deen in which there is moderation. It is not a deen in which there is any sort of extremism, even though the world might like us to understand and believe that there is extremism in it, but it is a deen in which there is moderation. So this meaning is also found in the word adl. And then another meaning of the word adl is also that a person must exercise and make equal his outward life together with his inward state. That is also a meaning of adl. He must make equal his outward life together with his inward state. The khadim of our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi Hazrat Mir Sahib, he mentioned a very beautiful verse of Urdu poetry in which he says, Khuda se agar tujhko hai kuch mahabbat, to uski alamat ye sun le tu mujhse. Khuda se agar tujhko hai kuch mahabbat, to uski alamat ye sun le tu mujhse. Ke tu ba khuda jaise rehta hai jalwat mein, waisi hi ho teri khalwat ki baatein. That if you have the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in your heart, that let me tell you what a sign of that is. And one of the signs that a person has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart is that just as how his outward life, his public affairs are, that is how he behaves inside his home also. Those are the very same thoughts that go through his heart also. He is not someone who is different on the outside and different on the inside. He is someone who is, if he is pious and righteous on the outside, and that's what we must all be, then he handles all of his affairs just like that. This is adl. And the Mufassirin write also that in terms of adl, then there are different stages of adl and different types of adl that a person can have. The first type of adl which is explained in the tafsir of this verse is the adl that a person is to have between his own relationship and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he does the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked him to do, and he abstains from the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to abstain from, and that is adl and justice. Because all of us have taken a covenant and a pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both in al-asr and when we recited the words La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and that covenant requires of us that we fulfill that covenant and we are just, and justice is adl, and that we fulfill that covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the first type of adl. Then another type of adl is the adl that one is supposed to have with oneself. Not even with anyone else, with oneself. That he mustn't do anything. He must not do anything that is detrimental to his physical health or his spiritual well-being. And that is adl. Because if a person is doing anything that is against his physical health, he is doing anything. And I don't want to go into the details. If we ponder and reflect, there are a lot of things that we do that are detrimental to our physical health. We just need to ponder and reflect the things that we eat, the thing that the pastimes that we engage in. All of those things are detrimental to our physical health, or many of them. Or anything that is detrimental to our spirituality and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we do any of that, then we are going against the dictates of adl. We are going against the dictates of adl and justice. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to do, and this is what we are reminded of every week. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Then there is another type of adl, and that adl is the adl and justice that we are to display between ourselves and the rest of the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to exercise adl and justice between everyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, Ad-deen an-nasiha. Deen is well-wishing. That is what deen is all about. And therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said in many a hadith that you can never believe, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. A person can never have true faith and iman until he likes for himself what he likes for his brother. And if a person is not adil, he is not just with his fellow human beings, let alone his fellow human beings, even with his with the animals, with his pets even, and fellow human beings, not even only Muslims, even with non-Muslims. If a person does not have adl, then a person cannot be a true mu'min and a believer even. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, even with fellow human beings and animals, there has to be adl that is established. And then of course, adl has another meaning, and that is to exercise justice. When disputing parties come to you, when there is an issue in the family and you have to decide on a particular matter, then you must not be inclined towards either way just because of some inclination towards one party. It must be on the basis of justice and adl that a person exercises those decisions that he makes. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, wal ihsan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do good. To do good. And there can be two meanings of ihsan. One is, rather than to do good, it means to make good. Ahsana yu'sinu in Arabic means to make good. Like for example, a person says that ضرب يضرب means to hit. أضرب يضرب will mean to make someone else hit. So, أحسن يحسن. إحسان means to make something good. And what is a person going to make good? He is going to make his actions good. He is the actions, the spiritual, his salah, he must make it good. He must do, all the time, strive to exceed in excellence. And that is the hallmark of a believer. That is the hallmark of a believer. That all the time he's improving. If his salah was at a certain level yesterday, then today it's enhanced. There's more spirituality. There's more connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his salah. In his dealings, if they were good yesterday, then he makes them better today. This is ihsan. This is what it means. If his character was good yesterday or it was bad, then he's all the time striving to make his morals and his character good. This is ihsan. And then another meaning of the word ihsan is to do good to others as well. Like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Do good to others like how Allah has done good to you. So both of these meanings are found in the word ihsan. In the famous hadith of Jibreel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, the sahaba was seated, and they asked him, mal ihsan? Jibreel alayhi salam asked, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is ihsan? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ihsan is, an ta'buda Allah ka'annaka tara, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yara. It means that ihsan is that you engage in your daily activities as though you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how you engage in your daily activities. Morning and evening. Standing and sitting and lying down. We are conscious, cognizant of the fact that we are watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you can't do that, then we must know at least this much that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching us. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. And for all of these things, there is an effort that is required. We have to build these things up. We have to ponder over the Holy Quran. So to do good to others. And some mufassireen have mentioned the meaning of the verse as Allah asks you to do justice. So do whatever is right. But over and above that, do ihsan as well. Over and above being just, do good to the person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in one hadith that, "U'fu amman zalama." Forgive that person who has done zulam and oppression to you. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, "Ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk." Do good to the one who has done evil to you. The one who has done evil to you, you do good to him. So many a times we just break off relationships. Either family relationships or business relationships, just because someone has done us down. أَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. These verses that we are reminded of every Jum'ah are telling us to do goodness. And we must ponder and reflect over it. These are the verses that changed disbelievers and made them Muslims and believers. It firmly rooted Islam into the hearts of the believers, the Sahaba. This but one verse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. And Allah asks you to give the family relationships. What must you give them? In another verse of the Quran, he says, حَقَّهُ. Give them their rights. And their rights are what? Sometimes we feel that those rights are just limited to financial. Anyone who's suffering, we must just give them some financial aid. Of course, if there are family relatives who are in need of financial assistance, then they must be given them. But it goes beyond that. Just to speak a kind word, to afford time and availability to someone from the family, to let them take off whatever is on their chest, because they are going through some sort of difficulty. Just to be kind to someone and say a kind word to someone. To visit them when they are sick. To attend their funeral. To do... And all of this actually was included in the first two commands. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. To be good to the relatives is also included in that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it separately, the mufassirin, right, to show the importance of family relationships. We have our WhatsApp groups do not replace physical interaction. We have to, they must be visiting that is there. There must be goodness and kindness that we display to the family members. Time has expired, but very briefly, just to touch on the translation at least of the three things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala prohibited. He prohibited us from indecency. Any act that is indecent. We sometimes consider an act of adultery, fornication to be an indecent act, and yes, indeed it is. But it is indecent to lie. It is indecent to gossip. It is indecent to backbite. And all of these things are indecent, and sometimes we gossip and speak ill of the most choicest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation as well. And it is futile and useless for us to do that, and there's no need for us to do any of these things. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asks us to keep away from munkar, that which is evil, and everything that is evil. If something is a matter of a valid difference of opinion among scholars, then that does not fall under munkar. And we need to be careful about that. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that in Ma'riful Quran under this verse. He has asked you to leave out that which is munkar and evil. Munkar and evil according to the Sharia of Islam. Well, baghi, and any type of transgression. Any type of transgression, any type of zulm and oppression, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to keep away from that. And the definition of oppression is wad'u shay fi ghayri mahalli. To put something where it doesn't belong. To put something where it doesn't belong, that is oppression. So you can think and ponder and reflect over that and take it across any aspect of your life. To say something when you're not supposed to say it. To do something where you're not supposed to do it. To place something and put something where you're not supposed to put, that is zulm and oppression. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asks us to keep away from that. يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala advises you so that you take heed and you take lesson. So these were verses that jolted the hearts of the people of the past. May it also jolt our hearts and let it not be such that it wakes us up also, but the only time we wake up is at the end of the khutbah, because now we realize that, you know, it's time to wake up now for the salah. Because many of us, just we do wake up when we hear this verse, but it's for another reason. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.